You'll find today's scripture lesson right in the bulletins. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, New King James Version. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. May God bless us as we look to the riches of his word. A mom and dad called their son into the living room for a stern discussion about the boy's report card. It seems that he had gotten all F's, and the dad asked the son, "What do you have to say about this?" And the son replied, "Well, you could be proud of me." And the father said, "What? Proud of you for this great card? Tell me why I should be proud of you for this great card." And the boy said, "Well, it proves that I didn't cheat." The young man is right about that one thing. There's always something in every situation that we face for which we can be thankful. True, the boy had done very poorly on his schoolwork, but it's also true that he was honest and hadn't cheated. And that is something to be thankful for and grateful for. You know, as we approach Thanksgiving, it's good to look at what God has to say to us about thankfulness. It gets our heart in the right attitude to enjoy Thanksgiving Day coming up this Thursday. The Apostle Paul says a lot to us in this one short sentence of our text. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Within this verse is a principle that we can use to live our lives with an attitude of gratitude, to move from thanksgiving to thanksliving, where our very lives reflect our thankfulness to God. So let's dig into the precious treasures that God has for us in his word today. This is from the last chapter of Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians. It was the first letter he wrote, and he wrote it to a church that was very dear to his heart and he knew was having struggles. We read about it in Acts chapter 17. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as was his custom, went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." And some of them were not persuaded. Some of them were persuaded. And a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious and took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathered a mob and set the city into an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Paul and Silas had to make a quick exit from Thessalonica and head off to Berea, just 3 weeks. But yet in that 3 weeks, a thriving church was founded. And Paul, they were close to his heart because he knew they were having a tough time. He wrote to them in 1 Thessalonians 2:14, "For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same thing from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans." Because of this persecution, the Thessalonians were always on Paul's heart. He said in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter might have tempted you and our efforts might have been useless. But Timothy has just now come to us from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. He has told us that you always have pleasant memories of us and that you long to see us, just as we also long to see you." So Paul wrote this letter to continue his efforts to encourage the Thessalonians in their tough times. Paul's words to them were words of comfort and encouragement. He and Silas had told them that hard times would come, but that the Lord would be with them. He encouraged them to live holy lives, waiting patiently for God's deliverance when it would come. And he encouraged them to remember that death is not the end, that we shall meet the Lord in the air and be with him and our loved ones forever. Paul ends this letter with a series of one-liners. And it's almost like they're throwaway lines, but they're all very, very deep and important. So I'll read chapter 5, verses 14 to 22. "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. All of these one-liners have excellent advice for us, but as this is the Thanksgiving season, I just want to zero in on the one that we read today for our text. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. First, we need to look at what this verse actually says, instead of what we might think it says, but in fact does not say. It says, in everything give thanks. The word in, that's translated in here from Greek, does have several meanings. It can be translated as in, with, through, by. It does not, however, have a meaning that could be translated as for. So it's not saying to thank God for everything, but to thank Him in everything. What's the big deal? It's just one letter difference between the two words there. One's one letter longer. Actually, there's quite a bit of difference. If you thank God for everything, that means that we believe that everything that happens to us, good and bad, is God's doing. Does the Bible really say that to us? James 1:13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. God does not do evil. The devil does evil. Yet God uses the devil's evil to bring glory to himself and blessings to us. The devil has no choice but to serve God, because God sees that it comes out that way. So God does allow bad things to happen to us, his children. We experience illnesses. We experience accidents. We have legal problems. We have financial difficulties. All kinds of things come down on us. That's why we're told to give thanks in rather than for everything. Our afflictions are not from God, but God allows them for a greater purpose. Can we thank God for cancer? No, we can't thank him for it, but we can thank him in it for what he's doing in it. This is the will of God, Paul says. This is God's will. We Presbyterians like to stress the sovereignty of God. That means God's control, God's absolute authority over absolutely everything. God is in control of all things, and his purposes cannot be defeated. Not by men, not by the devil, not by anyone. But only God's purposes will be fulfilled. We take comfort then in the midst of trials, because God is working out his perfect will for our lives. That's how we can give thanks in everything. Paul goes on and says, this will is in Christ Jesus. This sums up the whole thing of how God works in bad things to bring out wonderful things. Romans 5:1-5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Isn't that wonderful stuff? Jesus endured the cross, which was surely one of the most terrible things anybody can ever imagine. Why? Because he loved us, because by going to the cross he fulfilled God's purpose for our salvation and gave us so many incredible blessings. So an awful thing was actually used for something really good. Well, this is some really incredible stuff, isn't it? How do we use it in our lives? How do we give thanks in everything? I think we have a very good example of that in the Old Testament in the story of Job. Here's a man who lost everything in a matter of moments. Before one messenger was done, another one came, and he lost his wealth, his children, eventually his health. What did he say? Job 1:21. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. And when his wife told him, why are you still faithful to God? Well, you ought to just curse God and die. This he's not helping you. Job 2:10, he said, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job didn't thank God for what happened, but he did thank and praise God in what happened. You can kind of see the difference there, can't you? Now, we've come to expect easy lives here in America, haven't we? You know, we have an abundance of food. We have everything we need. It's easy to come to expect it and to kind of take it for granted, and when it's not there, to kind of get grumpy about it. Dale Robbins wrote this, I used to think people complained because they had a lot of problems. But I have come to realize that they have problems because they complain. Complaining doesn't change anything or make any situations better. It amplifies frustration, spreads discontent and discord, and can invoke an invitation for the devil to cause havoc with our lives. Ingratitude toward God is the root of many of our sins. Like Paul said in Romans 1:21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because they weren't thankful, their hearts were darkened. And Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:1 to 2, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of selves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. This is the one I want to get to. Unthankful, unholy. You need to remember that God's hand is in everything that comes our way, even the bad things in life, and that we can trust him to glorify himself and bring good through it. I love what Matthew Henry wrote in his diary, the great Bible scholar. I don't do a sermon without looking at what Matthew Henry had to say on the text. One day he was robbed at knife point, and his money was taken from him. This is what he said about it in his diary. I have so much to be thankful for. I am thankful that God wrought such a change in my heart that it was I who was being robbed and not the one doing the robbing. I am thankful that even though the young man took my money, he did not take my life also. I am thankful that even though he took my money bag, there wasn't much inside it. I am thankful that I alone was injured and not any additional persons. I am thankful that my life is so much more than the earthly possessions God has granted to me in my sojourn here. And I am thankful that even should I have lost my life in this encounter, I know heaven is awaiting me, where the riches of God's glory far outweigh the total of all man's possessions on earth. All the things he found to be thankful for and being robbed. Wow. You all know who Michael J. Fox is, the actor. He has Parkinson's disease, and it's, you know, it's a terrible affliction for anybody who has Parkinson's disease. But he wrote this. If you made a deal with God that he would take away my Parkinson's disease and cancel out the last 10 years of my life, I would tell you to take a hike. My life is so good now. I'm helping a lot of people to cope with the stigma of this disease. And it makes me appreciate life as a precious gift. Wow. So live your life in thanksgiving. That's what thanksgiving is. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Trust God and his love and care even through the hardest times. Because in him you're victorious over everything. One of the most profound books I ever read in my life was a little one called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie and her sister Betsy were hauled off to a concentration camp at Ravensbrück because they had hidden Jews from the Nazis. Corrie's sister Betsy always had such a cheerful disposition in the midst of all that. And she said, we should thank God in the midst of all of this because God is doing something. Well, the barracks they threw them into was absolutely the worst barracks of all. It was totally infested with fleas. And the fleas were biting them. And Corrie was just going crazy. And she says, how can we possibly thank God for these fleas? And Betsy said, yes, we need to anyway. Well, it turns out sometime later, it occurred to Betsy why they were supposed to thank God for the fleas. They had quite a bit of freedom in that barracks. The guards didn't come by and bother them. They were able to have Bible studies, even hymn sings. And nobody stopped them. And Betsy found out about it quite by accident, they had to work on projects in their dormitories. They were making things. And she called one of the supervisors in. The supervisor wouldn't come in. The guards wouldn't come in either. They said, "We're not going to go in that place. It's full of fleas." That's why they had so much freedom. And at that point, Corey could thank God in the midst of those fleas. That's a message for all of us. It may have been a hard year. There may have been a lot of rough things that have happened. But in the midst of it all, God is good. And God is blessing us. And that's why we come together to worship Him on Thanksgiving Day and to live our lives thereafter in Thanksgiving. Let's pray. Our wonderful and gracious Heavenly Father, how we praise and thank You for Your good word today. Produce in us hearts full of thankfulness, so that even in the midst of difficulties and trials, we can thank You in everything as You commanded us to, because we know that it is Your will for us in Christ Jesus. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our final hymn is number 590 in the Blue Hymnals, and Thanksgiving, let us praise Him.